Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I'm back on, Shell.
Okay, I'll call right back in.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. I apologize for all of the confusion. I have four phones in my house that are all connected to one station, and for some reason tonight, the station disconnected. I don't know whether we had a power surge or what happened, but all of a sudden, everything went off. So, but I'm back on board. Everything should be fine now. I wanted to talk to all of you about several things tonight, one of which is about one of our regular callers and how his life story has a lot to do with what we've talked about recently, which is in regard to being kind of turning the tables and making our bullies into our friends. John wrote me a lovely message, and he talked again about some of the adults in his life that have harassed him and bullied him and not been very professional nor very kind. He even goes on to say that other people have stuck up for him in his lifetime and brought him to a better place on many occasions. And even though he is adopted, and a lot of times everybody thinks of adopted people as kind of being on their own, I think we've learned on this show that that's not true. I know personally I've spoken to a lot of young people that have been adopted and are incredibly, incredibly happy with the people that chose them and brought them into their lives. And of course, that's where John is with his parents and with the rest of his very large family. However, because mostly because of his speech impediment, harassment has been something that he's had to deal with his whole life. And in the letter he wrote me, he talks again about one of the teachers and a coworker that bullied him. And he was having a garage sale, and one of them showed up. And he said, deep down, he wanted to ask them to leave and tell them that they weren't welcome. But he didn't. He realized that it was better if he, you know, if he just kept quiet and was the bigger man. And in many cases, that's indeed what John would do. He even talks about his own family members that teased him and picked on him, and one that he hasn't talked to in years, and now he feels like it might be time when he spoke to them. The saddest part of his letter is he shared with me that there was a point in time when he wanted to end his life, and he never tried it. But he did say to his own family that he couldn't take it anymore and it might be better if he died. And when he considered it, he said that he would definitely use pills because most of his life, for depression and anxiety, he was given different kinds of pills. And a lot of those pills are what people in that dilemma use to end their life. There was even a point in time when he had mixed some pills with one another, and his dad saw the missing pills and was afraid that he might be considering that. And he's also seen lots of other stories where other youths have taken their own life, and he's not, that doesn't sit well with him. He doesn't, that's not where he wants to be, and he realizes that's not the right thing to do. And he goes on to tell me about the photos that he takes and how much joy he gets from that. And he also is happy to talk to people, strangers, and he actually has helped some people that have gone through scenarios where somebody that they love very much has ended their own life. And he talks about, you know, losing people to cancer and all the terrible things that happen to people, and they don't want to die, but because of their illness, they do die. Here's a man who has absolutely, positively made the best of everything that he can. He has absolutely turned major challenges into strengthening devices. He's turned them into things that have made him who he is today. If this is the first time you're tuning in, John has spoken on the show before, and I have shared with people that he rose to the occasion for my grandson and was there with lots of the well-wishers and the people that supported my grandson when he was still in a induced coma, so that he couldn't feel the burns. And he's always been an avid Facebook user, and they have a site that they designed that, you know, he would contact. He would contact us that way and talk to us. So he's a wonderful guy, but I think one of the biggest reasons that it's important for you to understand what he's doing is he's doing exactly what we talked about last week with Izzy Kaplan. And that is not let yourself become the victim. And on all the occasions when he's felt like he was the victim, and all the times people have been abusive to him and unkind to him and made fun of him, he's turned it around and taken strength from it. Now, he coaches kids in sports. He's an avid photographer. And as I said, he has a very big family that he's very, very close to. And he has a sister that he's also very close to and does a lot of things to help her because she has her own challenges. But I think the most important part is when we talk about the things that happen to us and the different ways we can be hurt and the different ways people can step into our soul and make something fester there that doesn't go away and stays with us, and in some cases either makes us into a person that we're not supposed to be, maybe a little bit more unkind to people, maybe a little bit less trusting. I'm sure in a lot of cases with a lot less friends because you're afraid to make friends. This man has gone out, made friends wherever it's been available to him, and work through the adults and the children in his life that have made his life more difficult. I can't stress enough how important it is to look at somebody like John and understand that this is what you have to do. I remember talking to somebody very, very ill, somebody who was dying of cancer, and they were doing anything and everything in their power to make themselves more sick. And it was a struggle for me because this was somebody that I loved a lot. And I sat with them one day and I said, you know, we're not playing Monopoly. We're not playing Scrabble. This is life. You can't just decide that you're done playing. It's not the way it works. As long as you're going to be here, you have to participate in the game. And if that means you have to always put yourself in a place of forgiveness just so that you're healthier, then so be it. If it means you have to put yourself in a place where you don't take everything inside that people say that's hurtful to you, then so be it. But in the long run, you're the one. You're the one that survives. And that's what it's all about. Because this is not some game that you're playing that you can just stop playing. So here's a man who has shared with me that he was going to take his own life, even discussed how he knew he could do it with the pills that he was given for prescriptions for depression, and yet he didn't. So he's still here today, and he's still working hard at making things right for himself and the people that love him. So, again, every time we meet somebody like this, who has stepped up to the plate and is a survivor, we need to take it into account. I know I've mentioned this before on the show. It's one of my favorite sayings. It's something my dad said to me when I was very young, and I didn't get it when I was very young. He said, "Did you hear about the man who felt so sorry for himself because he had no shoes until he saw the man with no feet?" And that kind of puts things into perspective in so many different ways. So remember, please, this life is up to you. If there's people that are so hurtful to you, obviously the first thing you can do is steer clear of them. But if you can't, if you're in school or you're in a workplace, I urge you to try what Izzy Kaplan explained to us last week. I urge you with my heart and soul, turn the tables. Don't let words affect you in the moment. You can think about it later. You can talk it through to yourself later. But in the moment, smile and just turn things around. When people know that they aren't getting you on edge, it's no longer exciting to them. It's no longer a challenge to them. So they walk away. The other thing, of course, is the fact that the more you put out there and the more people you meet and the more people you're nice to, the less you'll have to be in the company of people who don't care about you. Friendship. I cherish friendship. I am very, very blessed at age 64 to have a large group of friends that I love, that mean as much to me as family. And believe me, that's also one of the most important things in this life, knowing that you have people around you that you love and they love you back. So find them, search for them, acquaint yourself with them, and make a relationship with them. I'm going to bring in Shelley and John. They're both with us. And I am going to ask John some questions tonight. I cannot believe that I feel like I'm catching a cold again. I promise you I will do something to myself tonight, give myself a honey bath or something to get rid of this cold. So let me bring in Shelley and John, and I'll try to quit coughing. Hi, Shell. Are you there? Shelley? Do I have you? No, I dropped Shelley. John, do I have you?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. I'm having a terrible time with phones tonight for some reason. I was on in the beginning, and all of a sudden, all my phones in the house went dead. I had to go to the main phone and reset all the phones. I am coughing up a storm again tonight. So I've read, here's Shelley back. I'm going to bring her in. Are you there now, honey?
Yeah, I'm here. I went through that dopey light again.
Well, you know, I think maybe we're going to have a storm or something, because I think that's what's happening with my phones, because my phone just went, the base went off, and I had to run out in the other room and reset the base to get back on the phone. Yeah.
Wow.
So John is with
I'm
us. Yeah, you are. John is with us, and I hope you heard most of the stuff that I read that John sent to me this week. Okay.
Yes. Hi, John.
Hello, Shelley.
So one of the things that I think is the most important thing to talk about with John is the fact, of course, that he's a survivor and that he's turned many things in his life around, as have some of our other callers. I do think that most of the people that call us are on the right road, even though sometimes there's bumps in it. Most of the people that talk to us now understand what they can do and are doing things their way to make things better for themselves. But John in particular, of course, he's always impressed me by the way that he doesn't really say anything bad about any of these people. Even when he writes me very personal letters, John, you never say anything mean about anybody.
No,
which is beautiful.
Yeah, and that's how I was raised. They say I don't have any mean bone, I don't get angry in others, and that's how I was raised, to be nice to people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that makes a difference as well. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. But I also need you, I think, to understand that in order to be able to really, truly get past some of your challenges that are long time over but come back to haunt you every now and then, especially when you see some of them because you're in a small town and some of them you still see. And I know just by the way you put your words that when you do see them, often you're hurt by them, but you're always the bigger man and you just, you know, you just deal with it. But I do think it would serve you to, you know, be able to say out loud, yes, I'm really angry with that person, and yes, he really hurt me, and he did things that were unfair to me, but I'm not going to hang on to that because that was his stuff, not mine.
Right.
You know, but sometimes you have to be able to articulate that so that you can really let go of it. Because the kids, like I said before, when we talked the last time, I said to you, you rarely hang on to the mean things kids did to you. You notice that about yourself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're more hurt by the adults. And I don't blame you. I think most of us would be. I think that's a pretty normal reaction. But they're the ones that you don't seem to be able to let go of. You mentioned a couple cousins that were kind of taunting and teasing. I think we all had some of those. And the boy that would take your bike and put it in the lake and stuff like that, which was a mean thing to do, and it's something you've never forgotten. But you don't really dwell on that. But you were hurt when you got to be older, and people did unkind things to you, because I think because of your upbringing, you believe that as an adult, you should have better manners, very simply.
Right.
You know, and when they didn't, that was hurtful to you because that's not who you are. You know, another thing that it's hard to not judge other people by your own beliefs and your own behavior. You know, like if I meet somebody who does a whole bunch of piercings, let's say that, just as a for instance, it's not my cup of tea. I mean, I have pierced ears. That's as far as I would go. And would I put a piercing in my nose or my lip or anything like that? I wouldn't. It just doesn't do anything for me. The first couple times I ever saw that, I was like, oh, my God, why did you do that? And then I realized it was because for them that was cool or beautiful or whatever it was to them, and that was their business. So a lot of these things, I think, come to us slowly. So maybe there's still hope for some of these adults that have kind of been a shadow in your life for so long. Maybe with your continued ability to kind of like not play into their meanness, maybe, John, you're even saving them from themselves.
Right. I totally agree. And I know I talked to several other people who ran into problems with the same people and the same feelings. Give you an example at the school. I approached them and I did talk to them just recently, and the person would just talk general, and that's all. but it was hard to do,
yeah.
But I did it, and mm-hmm. with that, and after I did it, I felt a lot better.
That's good. Can you tell us a little bit of what you said? Did you address things, or did you just kind of make friends with them?
I just mentioned to them that one episode was with the school, was my niece's school. We're doing couldn't do things in the other school. And so my niece's friends and parents asked me to talk to the school principal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the principal that was giving me a problem. So I did go in and I said, please forgive me whatever I did. And also I did this, I talked from the Zurich North and the parents and the students want me to stick to you and to see why does South Head do more stuff than North and everything, and Lake Zurich North wanted to do the same thing South does. And the answer was, they said South don't sponsor these events. It's just one teacher. And the response I got from Lake Zurich North was the school district sponsors all events, approves all events. But I did go in and I talked. And the principal said, okay, that's, he understood just recently. He understood, and he even mentioned he was sorry.
Wow. That's wonderful. That's a big, big step.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going into until they break out the school. And he did mention he was sorry and everything. And even the secretaries mentioned they said they missed me and everything. And a couple of them were saying, John, you weren't the only one in the boat. Several other people has problems with the same person I did.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's usually true. That's usually the case. If people like that, don't just single out one person, and it's usually their modus of operandi with everyone. And but again, a lot of that has to do with how the other people handle, you know, how they react to what is being said to them. And again, that's what you're doing now. You're turning things around so that, you know, you're purely and simply taking back some of your own power and some of your own personal strength so that they can't hurt you to the same degree. And when you walk in and face somebody, that's awesome, John. Hitting somebody head on takes a lot of courage, a lot of tenacity, and a lot of inner strength. So, you know, I just mentioned to one of our other callers yesterday, I emailed them something, and I said, you know, truer words were never spoken as what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. And you're a major example of that. Because the obstacles that were placed in front of you were plentiful. And some of them were placed there by other people. Some of them were placed there by life itself. All different kinds, all different shapes and sizes. And yet you're still kind and giving and compassionate. All the things that everybody should be. Still having had all those things done to you. Have you listened, John, the nights that I talk about the statistics of people that have been bullied to the degree you've been bullied?
There's been some nights I have, and then other nights I was at some doings, and so I'm trying to go back and listen to everything. I actually bought a little Sony recorder so I could just record everything from all the episodes, and I could play it on this little Sony recorder.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, some of the things that people have shared with us is even Shelley. I mean, Shelley even one night talked about being because of the way she was brought up, which always has a lot to do with everything, and how she was treated, and the fact that she's very strong and outspoken and rugged. There were times when she was called very unkind names.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter was, is very often, for lack of a better terminology, she'd just consider the source and not take it in.
Right. True.
Right? I mean, you know, that's really, in some cases, what you would do. But when it did hurt her, she hit it head on, just like you have. You know, she just would get right up there and say, you know, first of all, that's not true. And second of all, why are you saying that to me? And did very much what you're doing. And she's a little tiny girl.
And
so it does prove to be helpful to face your demons, and it does prove to be helpful to be strong. But I'm afraid that one of the only things that I worry about what Izzy is teaching us is that a couple people have called me and said, you know, it doesn't help to be, you know, like let them push you around. And I said, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, fading into the woodwork and trying to not let them see you. We're talking about standing your ground and letting them know that you can't hurt me anymore, because I really don't care what you say. But if that's what you feel like saying, just smile at them and say, so be it, because what you think of me means nothing to me. The other night, I don't remember which night it was, when I read that what that young girl said. Remember, Shell? I've got it here in my paperwork.
Yeah, I think that was the night before we were talking to Izzy, because I think you brought it up again that night. It was probably Tuesday night.
Because she
Right.
Right, because she said 16-year-old Megan says, I just stare at them, look them right in the eye, let them know they can't do anything to me now, and they know it now because they are the ones looking at the ground.
Right.
And right. And you must have felt that way before, John, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Well, you know, one of the things that Izzy was getting at when he was talking about, you know, being nice to people, he wasn't talking about it in a way where you were being, like these people said, you're not rolling over and letting them take advantage of you. It's being friendly to the point of, like, not showing that what they did had any negative impact on you. Sort of the, like the stories that I used to tell at some of the jobs I worked at where people would say something to me and it was obvious they were trying to insult me and I wouldn't react to it. I would just go right on over the conversation, be very friendly, be very professional. But I never let anybody get over on me. But in the same token, I didn't take it in because I didn't, whatever they were saying in an effort to insult me, first of all, I knew wasn't true. And like you just said, why would I care what this person thinks of me? The only people I care about what they think of me are the people that I love and respect and that have some impact on my life. But if you're just an acquaintance or a coworker and you're not somebody that I need to have a good attitude about me, why would I care what you think? You can have whatever opinion you want, and I'll be fine with that, But it's so many people hear something that's insulting or negative, and they take it to heart, and it's like ignore it. I love that comment that I've said this a couple of times in the show. I love that comment that one of my coworkers told me one day at work. She said people should adopt the attitude. It's none of my business what you think of me.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But on the same token, we do understand and we do appreciate the fact that even if you're taking that stand and even if that's the truth, if somebody keeps at you long enough, your feelings get hurt. And even though a lot of times we don't use those particular words, you hurt my feelings, that's really, really what's happening. I have somebody now that I counsel quite a bit. And that's what I tell him all the time. You know what's wrong, right? He goes, well, yeah, they made me mad. And I said, no, they hurt your feelings.
Right.
And come to grips with that, because that's really what's wrong. It's not that they made you angry. It's not that they said something that you may even disagree with. They hurt your feelings. And having hurt feelings is no fun.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of cases when it's an adult, like what has happened to John so frequently, is that's true there too, because he has loving mom and dad and loving sister and loving family. When an adult is mean to him, it hurt his feelings. And well, it should have, and well, it would. But that's really what causes the most damage. Say again, honey.
Because when it comes from that type of relationship where you expect more from it, you almost give others a little bit of slack because you say, well, they're just kids or it's my siblings or whatever. But when you're talking about dealing with another adult, you expect more. You expect safety. You expect kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You expect something different as an end result of the interaction with that person. And that's why you can be caught off guard more easily and you can be hurt more easily because you're not prepared when it's negative.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially now, if you come from that kind of a family where some of your abuse is coming from home, then that could be different.
Right.
But if you come from a loving family with a mom and dad that really love you and it's a very open relationship like that, then when you meet an adult, like I said, I think I've shared this on the show many times. When I realized that there were adults that didn't think my kids were the wherefore, I was devastated. And that wasn't even me. That was my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that having your feelings hurt like that by an adult is very harmful. And I think stays with you. And proof with John is that they're the ones that upset him the most in his lifetime, is the grown-ups. But, again, that's probably
right.
because he has a very wonderful mom and dad.
Right.
And, like, I notice now the people that was being dirty to me, the adults, I mean, like when I was working, the following day, I ended up talking to them about what happened. And, you know, one of the things is, after talking to a coworker, like for when I was working with an insurance company, I ended up becoming better. We ended up becoming friends and better, more better understanding and not closer than before. And we never had another bullied episode
incident
again after
that. Well, see, and again, you should always, you know, I'm a big believer in congratulating yourself when you know you've done something that's a job well done. And a lot of times we think that that's not something we're supposed to do. We should get our positive feedback from the people that love us. But a lot of times they don't know, you know, the lengths we've gone to make something better for ourselves. So I really think that's important as well, to make sure that when you do, when you are really successful at turning around a situation like that, like what you just talked about, you should make sure you look at John in the mirror and say, John, that was really a good job. I mean, you changed this person from somebody in your life that gave you a pain in your stomach when you saw him walking towards you, and now there will be one of joy when you see him. That's a big, big thing. And somebody else may not know that, honey. So you should always be quick to congratulate yourself when you've pulled off something like that that will have such a positive point in your life, a positive reaction in your life that helps things be smoother for you. And that was done all by yourself. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, whenever, you know, I gave this speech to health educators one year, and they were all so afraid that they weren't going to be able to tell all the people everything that they'd learned. I'm so scared, I'm going to get up there. And I said, you know, first thing is that whatever you get impassioned about is easy for you to talk about. And anything that you feel strongly about, which you should about yourself and your own worth and your own credibility, you should be able to give that to somebody with all the strength you can muster. And it shouldn't be a problem. The only time it should be a problem is if it's either you don't believe it yourself, or it purely isn't true, or you got no business saying it because it doesn't have anything to do with you. If it's about you and you know it's true, you should be able to deliver a message like that with every ounce of strength in your being, because you know it for a fact when nobody else does.
Right.
You know? I think you, I think everything you've done is incredibly commendable, John. I tell a lot of people about you, and I think you're going to be, John is hoping, as I am, that when we get the event finally organized, when we find, first we have to find the venue, and I'm having trouble finding that. I went over to Veterans Park today on Royal Palm, which is beautiful, very spread out park. But again, nobody there that can give me any answers, so I guess I'm going to end up at the Royal Palm Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
and find a venue. Once we find the venue, then we'll find an open slot. It won't be in May like we had hoped because we can't pull it together that quickly. By the way, listeners, Shelley is deserting me for a whole 10 days. She's going abroad. She is abroad, and she's going abroad. And she's going to visit a nephew in Germany and have a wonderful, wonderful trip with her sister. I think it will be a trip of a lifetime, and I'm very happy for her, but we will miss her. She's going to leave next Friday.
Yeah, this coming Friday,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm gone. I'll be in Germany and then over to Texas. I'll be coming back to Florida in 10 days. I'll be back that following Monday. So I'll be gone from this Friday through next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all next week
she
won't be on the show.
I don't know if I'll be able to, but I may try to Skype in one or two nights. My nephew has Skype, so I may try to Skype in one night. See, I don't know if I'll be able to talk, though, because I know sometimes when people call from the Internet, you get kind of feedback. But if I'm able to, it'll be, if I have the chance to call in from there, it's going to be about midnight for me.
Yeah. So I told her to not, you know, if she gets a chance to do it, I said we'd love to hear from her and hear how much fun she's having. But if she can't, we'll forgive her because this is a trip of a lifetime for her, and I'm very happy for her to be able to get to do this.
It'll be exciting.
And she'll have all kinds of X-rated stories to tell us when she gets home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But what were you saying about John with regard to the event?
So John would like to be here. Patrick and John would both like to be here, and John has offered to talk, and I think it would be great if we could bring, some school-age children in for some of the lectures and really, really advertise to them so that they can see a success story of somebody who's overcome everything that has come his way with, with grace and still having all the compassion and the love that he has. I think it's important for kids to see that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I would look forward to meeting you, John. And we've talked about this several times on the show, that we need more role models out there, positive role models, and you're an excellent one. So I look forward to meeting you.
And I'm looking forward to meeting you, Shelley, and you, Renee, and the whole Brewer family, too.
I don't know if you're really ready for that, but if you say so, honey. It's, we're just like any other family. We all have our stuff. We have our problems. We have our challenges. But there is one thing I will tell you, and I don't think anybody can say that this isn't true. We all really, really love each other and really, really care about each other. And in today's world, that's one of the most important things.
Yes, it is. And I can tell from you and from the rest of the Brewer family, that your loving family and you all care about each other.
Yeah. We really do. And
from the day one.
And it's life is short to spend it delving into hatred and discord. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago I've been having trouble with my younger sister and my younger brother. Because they don't quite grasp everything, and I'm kind of old school. I believe that you earn respect, and once you earn respect, and once you're always there for people, that they should reciprocate. And there's a little immaturity involved. It hasn't stopped how I feel about them, but it has made me step back and watch to see if they can grow up a little bit on their own and come to their own senses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that happens in all families as well. I don't I couldn't love them any more than I love them right this second. But I feel like I'm at a place now where I've done everything I can do, and now I have to step back and hope that at some point or time they listened.
Right. It's a very good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll be, you know, and the whole thing is regardless how people act sometimes, you sometimes do get surprised because they do hear more of what you say, and it sometimes it just takes them a while to finally act on it, for it to find, for them to have that aha moment and for it to click for them. But the bottom line is, like you said, you're very sincere with your love. You're very out there with it. And personally, just from knowing you and your family, I think it's only a matter of time before they realize that, and then if they've had their aha moments in with regard to you.
Well, I think, you know, as far as they're concerned, they, you know, there shouldn't be anything wrong, and this should be fine, and that should be fine, and but I can't be that two-faced. If it's not fine with me, you will always know it. And I think Shelley can vouch for that as well. She worked with me for a long time, and I'm very, very far from being perfect, but I try to always say what I mean and mean what I say, and I respect that in other people. I think that's why you've touched me so much, John, because you are definitely somebody, everything I read that you write, everything that you say to me, has such a ring of sincerity that it's impressive. And I think that's probably why people are taken aback sometimes by you, because, you know, a lot of times people don't know what to do with that much honesty, you know. So, again, I am very, very proud of you. I will love it if you and Patrick are both here for this shindig that we're going to do. And I had something exciting happen to me today that I want to share with both of you and for anybody listening. I was asked to sit on a board of directors for a new company. It's a 501c3, and it will be doing construction prefab roofs and columns for third world countries. And they've already opened a thrift shop to help raise some of the money. They've applied and done, accomplished most of the paperwork, which you know is grueling, Shelley, to do the 501c3. And the only thing I did say is that I have a tendency to believe that we should help at home. And their home is Africa, so they're, you know, they have heartstrings there, and they see the struggles in some of our third world countries, and I certainly understand that and respect that. But I said, what if you found out, or I found out, or somebody came to me and said there was a small congregate area in West Virginia, and they needed a church, and, you know, they own the land, but they don't have much money and everything. She said, absolutely, we would help them. So that sold me.
Right.
So I think that's a very, very special thing. I'm sorry? They've already put together these packages that will have the roof, which is one of the hardest parts for people to build when they don't have the proper tools, and the columns to hold up the building. They'll have to put in the floor and the walls, and everything else will be donated by this organization.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
And
yeah, so that cuts the cost considerably.
Yes. The cost and the labor, because in some, especially in some of your third world countries, doing roofing and things like that, they purely and simply don't have the kind of tools and apparatus that they need. So it sounds like it will be wonderful, and they've really done a lot of planning, and it's people that I really respect, and I know that they know what they're doing. So when they called me today and I met with them, I said, absolutely, I would love to be a part of it. So I'm hoping every time something like this happens, we just pull it all together, make ourselves bigger, and have more positive stuff going on. And the more positive stuff, the less room there is for negativity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the more that people find solutions instead of complaining about the status quo, every time somebody comes up with a solution, whether it's something this grandiose or whether it's just making the choice to walk out of your house that morning and smile at somebody, it all contributes to the betterment of the world and to just bettering us as a people. You know, little acts and big acts. They're all necessary, and they all make huge differences.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I so believe that that's who we want to be. I so believe that. I so believe that people, everybody, wants to be loved and wants to love back and wants to be happy and wants to know that they're safe and that the people they love are safe. Somebody sent me a picture today of a young black man who looked a little intimidating. He was a big guy and had the long dreads and everything, very handsome, was beaten up by some policemen. And they showed him in the hospital, and he's never been in trouble. Young guy, good grades in school and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, what possessed? First of all, policemen, they're the enforcers. They shouldn't be afraid. I mean, what are we thinking, you know? So I do think, though, that the more that we pull together and the more that we connect with good people who have good thoughts and really want to make a difference, not people that are self-serving, you know, not people that are all about doing something that's going to make them a small fortune, although I'm not against making money because you have to have it to live with. But when that becomes your driving force, then you lose something.
Right, right.
You know, you lose some of your heart.
Right. The driving force, I don't know if you remember when I used to, I taught a course at Hippocrates also. And part of it was, you know, how to live a healthy life through proper attitude and stuff like that. And one of the things is there was this ancient civilization. They lived about 2,000 years ago. And one of the things that they did was they practiced something called bhakti yoga. There's about seven different forms of yoga, and not just hatha, which is where you bend your body in all kinds of pretzel shapes, but there's actually seven different types of yoga. And my favorite was always called bhakti yoga. And what that is the motivation for what you do with your life. And if your motivation is with love, then the end result will always be almost self-perpetuating because love is a creative emotion. So when you embark on any project and it's to help other people, it's through love, it's almost like you're doing it with the seeds of success. If your only motivation is self-serving or financial or something like that, you're almost seeding it with the seeds of failure because those aren't creative emotions. Love is the only creative emotion. So when you have love, compassion, caring for other people, when you want to make a difference, and then you embark on a project wrapped around those compassionate desires, you're almost perpetuating the project forward. It doesn't mean you won't have challenges, but you're seeding it with success because of the creative force behind it. And it was a fascinating theory, but that's how these people live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me. And besides that, that's the way you're the happiest. I mean, that puts it in a whole even simpler level. That's when you're the happiest, when you love
that's
and
right.
get loved back. And there's nothing... you know, there's nothing about it that's difficult to understand or difficult to promote. It's just pure and simple, and you care about people and often put people in front of yourself, which is also something that is a gift to be able to do, to put something before yourself. And some of us do it very easily, and some of us struggle with it. And doesn't make one person better than the other. It just, you know, some people have different issues. So it is, though, the best way to live your life, and it is the kindest way to live your life, not just for the people that you're loving, but for yourself.
Oh, yeah. It really helps to uplift you when you sincerely care about people. It makes so much, first of all, it makes it easier to go through the day, because when you're feeling compassion and caring for other people, it keeps you in that better place, because it's constantly activating that part of your heart. It's very healthy to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think John is the perfect persona of all of that. Again, John, yep. I want to thank you for sharing with me. If you listen tonight, you know that I didn't read your story verbatim. I just kind of summarized it. But again, yep. You know, it's every time you share with me, you remember something else and I hear about it. So I'm learning a lot. You're teaching me a lot of things that will be tools that maybe will help me help other people, and I'm grateful for that. That means a lot to me, and because I do take what I do for people very seriously, and when somebody comes to me and needs my help, the more information that other people have given me, a lot of times, like I said, I don't have to say anything. A lot of times it's just a matter of being able to listen and not judge. But sometimes people want something from me, and I will use your story many, many times to let people know that they have the ability to change everything if that's what they want to do, just like you have done. So I'm very proud of you, and I'm very proud to have gotten to know you as well.
Thank you. And it means a lot to me, and from you and Charlie, and it's been a rough road, and I always think you think positive, and I'm always thinking positive and doing positive things. And I love helping people. Love talking to people. I mean, I traveled all over, and I'm always talking to people. And one of the things my family, normally my sister would say, John, we have to go. We're going to make a thing.
Yeah, my husband, I get that a lot from my husband and my kids. We'll just go sit in the car. Mom's still talking. You know, I hear that a lot, John, so I can relate to that one. We're almost out of time, and I don't want you to be cut off. So you can call again whenever you're ready. Just let me know in the daytime if you're up for talking or sharing. I welcome you anytime, and, of course, I always welcome you to listen. And I love you, and thank you. And, Miss Shelley, thank you. And to all of our friends out there, from my heart to yours, good night, and I love you, and God bless. Good night, you guys.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, John.
Bye-bye.